Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Super Footy Podcast. It's been some trying times. It's exciting times in the AFL as we head into round 19. And you'd have to say, Sam and Mick, welcome to you. It's milestones everywhere we look. And, of course, we know about Boomer. We know about Pav, Corey Enright, Jimmy Bartel. We're stretching it when we mentioned that Matty Boyd
plays... That's a big one to me.
Yeah, he plays 275 games, the second most ever by a player who started on the rookie list.
And where's the number five?
And where's the number five?
Who played the most rookie games?
Dean Cox, I would have thought.
Right. Not Milne?
Man from Dampier.
That might be stretching milestone fever, but...
Well, we've got a milestone.
Well, we have. It's officially the 100th edition of the Super Footy Podcast. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Longest running podcast in this building, yep. Which is a massive achievement. The best 100 since Chris Judd started his career. Best first 100, Mick.
And Hutto's only ever missed one, which is a pretty good...
We've missed a few, it's fair to say. We're back together again.
Yeah,
we both were away last week.
You boys have been you've been off on the Gold Coast.
It was fun.
Did you go to the footy while you were there?
No, don't be stupid. No, I didn't. I saw plenty of sun and surf. I got my priorities right. I left straight after the podcast.
Yep.
28 degrees out there. Hard to believe it's the same country, to be honest. And Mick, you went further abroad.
Bali. Yep. Nice. Yeah, it was great.
And we normally ask Hutto for his plane tales, but I'm led to believe that he didn't go anywhere this week.
No.
You had a travel experience of your own.
Well, the guys, when I got off the plane in Melbourne, there was a whole contingent of journos and cameras, and I thought, oh, yeah, they obviously missed me. I've been gone for 10 days.
Now that we're visual on the podcast, we've got...
They were actually there for those blokes who got booted off the flight from Thailand, got diverted to Bali, and they were on our flight. But they were, my 15-month-year-old son made more noise than those boys did. They were very well behaved. Well, in fact, I didn't even know they were on the plane.
So you weren't in that group that got kicked off?
No,
to clarify
I wasn't.
That? No.
Okay. But there they were.
Well, there's plenty happening in the footy world, and a lot of it surrounds the Western Bulldogs. Mm. And we've obviously watched and heard, and we'll talk more about the angst surrounding the injuries, but off-field some issues as well, Mick.
Well, it looks as though the CEO is going to go, Dave Stevenson. He's only been there for 12 months. I think the club are meeting at the moment to finalise sort of the terms of, you know, they like, it's weasel words really, isn't it?
But what sort of severance are we talking?
Well, I don't know whether it was contract or they had the sort of option in the contract to, but he's not going to be there most likely. Beyond today.
The timing of it would suggest that there's been an issue or several issues.
I think he's been under review and I don't know if he's the right fit, whatever. But look, he's only a CEO. Who cares? Let's talk about the football.
But it is interesting because, I mean, obviously Peter Gordon, in the time that Peter Gordon has been running the Bulldogs, there's been quite a bit that's gone on, obviously.
We lost Simon Garlick.
Yeah, lost Simon Garlick.
Recruited Tom Bull.
Lost the coach, got a new coach.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
But
there's a common denominator there.
No, I'm just saying it's been a tumultuous time, yet on the field, it's been the most exciting time.
Well, a lot
for
of those decisions, you'd have to say, would have been the right ones in hindsight. At the time, we thought they were wrong.
Mm.
But, you know, and so maybe he's got this one right as well.
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to cost them a hell of a lot. They got a $10 million debt, the Dogs. But anyway, I think the listeners want to talk about the footy.
Yes, I'm sure
and
they do.
I believe that the injuries that they suffered at the weekend will not derail their premiership chances because Wallace, as tragic as it was to see them both go down, the club was clearly affected by it on the night. Redpath can be replaced by Boyd. That's a question mark, I agree.
Or Campbell.
And Wallace, that's,
buzzing
that's Hutto's phone.
Trying to work out who was ringing there.
He can be replaced.
Red on the way home.
You know, they've got guys like Honeychurch in the VFL. So Clay Smith's back. I reckon they'll be all right, the Dogs.
I actually think their premiership hopes were derailed.
Round one.
Bob Murphy, possibly even before the season started.
What?
With Cramery missing
for
mine.
Back at BC.
That's right. When they were Footscray. No,
what's your logic there?
Well, I thought with Cramery going out for the year,
yes,
that was always going to hurt them massively. I mean, you're taking out a lot of goals. You're taking out a lead-up, a link between their midfield dominance and their forward line. They don't have that sort of player anymore. They clearly need a stay-at-home forward. That Redpath offered a bit of presence. He wasn't Wayne Carey, but he was a target, and he straightened them up. He's gone. I'm not convinced Boyd can do that job yet. Not saying ever.
There's no evidence to say that he can.
This is the time to step up.
His first game on the weekend since April. So asking a lot of him. Asking a lot of him.
Can you think in recent times of a premiership team that was hit decimated so by injury and managed to get the job done.
Hawthorn are the only ones that have been able to
but
do
they
it.
They got him back
they
in
did.
The big dance.
Yeah, and I think that I agree with you in theory that they can. I mean, they've got more
fringe
depth.
Players, aren't they?
Well, Mitch Wallace is not a fringe
harsh,
player, but
fringe. Oh, he I reckon he was.
They lost
battling.
Their captain for the year.
So, well, no, Murphy's not fringe.
I think Morris would have been a bigger loss for them in terms of for the rest of the year.
Johannesson, they lost for 10 weeks, who would have been all Australian at that point. So,
but,
I mean,
but I think the point you're making is that
they're not Bontempelli's and Stringers and Bowers.
That's true, but to win a premiership, you need everything to go right. So from here, they'd have to suffer no more injuries. Dalhouse would have to come back in and...
which he will this
which
week.
Which he will, but come back in and be excellent
Dalhouse
straight away.
Missed a big chunk. Easton Wood missed
Don't
a chunk.
Don't write them off, I reckon.
Toby McLean played the first 10 or 11 games.
So he'll come back as well. So
they've been absolutely crueled. And then how's the reports from the rooms on the weekend? I know it's been discussed, but horrific. They're actually in the post-match meeting with Luke Beveridge, the coach, and all they can hear is Mitch wailing from outside because they just couldn't... He was so... They couldn't get him on the stretcher and they couldn't get him in the ambulance. He was in so much pain, they couldn't move him. Just a shocking...
Yep. And that shocking set of one of the reasons they lost the game, that they were just so derailed by the impact. You know,
you weren't in the rooms, were you, Mick?
No.
You're still away?
I was down at Geelong.
Okay, yeah. Because I was speaking to one this morning, to rooms goers from the media. Hodgie was there, but I spoke to someone else who was there.
Source.
Who he was just saying it was just harrowing, and you didn't actually want to move. Like, people had to, radio guys had to go and get their gear, and they didn't want to because it was just quiet and they felt like they were moving and talking in places that they shouldn't
be.
And
Bob Murphy was
probably a bit like when Sammy had the Carlton tie on in the old days after a loss.
That
would have
brought
them
to tears.
I moved wherever I wanted, to be honest with you. No, I didn't. You just stayed dead still in the rooms.
But they were like that when Murph went down. And as the coach said, on that night it infects you, but by Wednesday they'll have moved on.
They have to.
Don't write off the Dogs.
The side they're playing, it's going to be another big test. It's going to be a cracking game, isn't it? But the ladder, 48, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams on 48. A loss could see them not slip out of the 8, slip to 8th. The win could put them up into 2nd. I mean, it's a crazy sort of a topsy-turvy season, as we saw GWS on the weekend, fellas.
I've noticed you guys are a bit different now that we're live. You just got to fire it up a bit. A little pressure.
A bit
there.
Flat.
Yeah.
I think it was our highest rating show last week when you were here.
320,000 followers. Like, that's huge. Well done, boys.
320,000.
That's bigger than
I'm not sure
AFL 360.
I'm not sure about that. But anyway,
let's talk about. Oh, sorry, Hutto, to cut you off. If you want to spark it up a bit, this is something we talked about in the footy meeting here in the Herald Sun. It consumed. I'll let you talk about me. It consumed. if we were in there for an hour and a half, it probably consumed a good half of the meeting. And that is the extracts that have been running in the Herald Sun today and in recent days, Brent Harvey's book.
Mm-hmm.
And he breaks the unbelievable record, Michael Tuck's 426 games this weekend.
How many pages is the Boomer book, by the way? Is it 427 pages? And is it smaller than most others or not?
He might play more games. So.
Right. Actually, a good point.
Yeah.
Some explosive stuff on the
timing. That's my Beacon rewind. I cannot believe, and I love it in a new sense, but why would you put out a book in the week of the greatest celebration of the year for this record, and it's all about him slagging off Wayne Carey, allegations of hush money. Well, it can only be
sales
to sell the book. But I just can't believe that the club would, after what we've just been through with Carey and Barley and Archer and all this stuff, well, it's all erased, all that work, because now Carey, he even hit out yesterday and said it, you know, had a crack at Boomer, and that's just sad.
It is sad.
Well, the twist is that the author of the book is also the North Melbourne media manager.
Yep.
Well,
you'd think that Heath would have known the way it would play out.
But does it go out of Heath's hands? Does it go to the publisher, whoever they are, and there's a publicity team with it, and they say, well, we're going to need maximum exposure here. We're going to release it on the week that he breaks the record. They give the Herald Sun, I think my understanding is, a few chapters, and the Herald Sun
the
say,
whole
well,
book's
we-
out this week anyway, so everyone would have read it. Don't blame the Herald Sun.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm saying what happened, though, was that we asked for the Carey chapter, as anyone would have.
Well,
just give us the Carey chapter. But incredibly explosive. I don't think it had anything to do with
the timing.
North Melbourne. I don't think it had anything to do with
it. And the allegations of hush money is quite a serious allegation.
That is a slippery slope, yes.
Which the club must have been aware of. Anyway,
could there be...
They're a media-savvy club, but I think they got this one wrong.
Could there be legal action, potentially, with the allegations?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you'd want to be sure of. you'd want to be sure.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you're better when it's not live. I reckon.
Anyway, There's no correlation between this and what I'm about to ask next. Brad Hill.
Yep.
What's he worth?
Well, if the last fortnight is anything to go by, you'd say a first-round pick. If the rest of the season is anything to go by, you'd say probably a late second-round pick because he's been
disappointing for 2 years. I thought he was ready to really good yesterday. Rock it
it's
up.
It's actually my Is It Just Me, funnily enough. Yeah. With Brad Hill finding form the last 2 weeks, coinciding with around the time that this skeleton has come out of the closet that he's thinking or wanting to go back to Fremantle, is it just me or should other players take heed and perhaps come out, state their intentions earlier, get it off their chest, get it off their shoulders? Well, it's a burden. They're clear. I think they're all scared, and Clarko mentioned this, of what the coach is going to say, what the president's going to say, what the teammates are going to say, but it's 2016. Just play your good footy at the club you're at. What will happen will be decided post-season. And funnily enough, he's played like a man who's had the shackles taken off him.
But I think what happened here is 6 weeks ago he's gone to the club and said, look, I might want to go home. We know he's had a few issues and the club has said, okay, well, if that's how it's going to be, we'll let you. And he's gone and met Ross Lyon with their approval. It's completely different to your Ling John scenario where he's weighing up options secretly through his
management. That's what I'm saying, though. It probably doesn't have to be secret.
But this is probably more to do with his welfare and his life, and, you know, it could be a four-time premiership player at the end of this year.
But if it was as open as that, what would happen? Would there be even... I mean, I know there's enough rumours as it is, but wouldn't it multiply even more?
Oh, well, we don't want the NRL situation, I don't think.
Well, that's what you're asking for, effectively.
No, what I'm asking for is the player to perhaps come clean with the club, whether it becomes public. That was Clarkson's choice. He made it public, not us.
Well, so the rumours were swirling around
maybe,
in the last few
but
days.
Rumours swirl about infinite amount of players. So if I was a player... And maybe it depends on the coach. I mean, we've had Paul Roos say he wouldn't play a player if he'd heard they were leaving. But if it were me and you had a great relationship with your coach and your teammates...
Considering going to Carlton full-time?
There won't be much chance of that happening.
No, I think the Cameron Ling theory, they've taken all that pressure off Hill by doing this. Yep. It's out there and he played really well yesterday.
It makes sense that something's been affected. I mean, I know, as you said, there's been a few things with him, but I thought last year, and then I thought going into this year, that he would be a player that would really accelerate. And what
it's
it also
important is the line break or the link man. He's
what it does is it just reinforces, and we'll get to this, obviously, it reinforces the Hawks.
Well, you know what? They were ordinary yesterday, Hawthorn. They were any other side, they were right for the picking, and yet Richmond were just despicable.
Shameful, in the words of the coach.
Just before we go into that, because my Is It Just Me is related to yours, is it just me, or does a player's value drop their position in a draft that is going to be asked for in the trade from another club, even if they're at the peak of their career, they've been developed, all the hard yards have been done, but all of us, because what are we talking about for Hill? What are we talking about for Prestia, who I think was at 9 or 10 originally, and now they're saying he's only worth a second round pick? Well,
it sounds like he'll be worth pick whatever Richmond's going to give up, pick 5 or 6.
It's so the old saying.
He's probably worth more.
He's worth whatever the club, club's willing to pay.
Because you've done the four years of development, though, he probably is worth more.
Well, he should. I think
he's ready to go.
A, when you go into a draft, you don't know whether the player's going to make it. B, you've got to put in, you know, X number of years of development. Surely, if you know what you're getting.
He's in the prime of his career, age-wise.
Yeah.
That's what the market's prepared to pay.
Well, hey? No, it is. But
like all those houses you own.
I think it's interesting.
That's right.
You didn't just pluck a figure out. You put your hand up.
I think it's interesting.
It's a fair portfolio, too.
Oh,
it's
one.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Massive. Only got one.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's a big one. Very big.
Those aerial shots last you see at North Wing.
Those aerial shots you see at the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Have you got your Is It Just Me, by the way?
I've done mine. Mine was
sorry. Have you got yours? You copied mine.
I am, and I've been in Bali. I tried to get off the phone, but you can't. You know, you're addicted to Twitter. And I was watching the Gary Ablett stuff emerge, and I am highly suspicious.
Are you telling me you couldn't relax on Bali? You couldn't leave?
No, my plan was to put my mobile phone in the drawer and just avoid all you people for 2 weeks.
You should have. So
I tried, but I'm addicted.
Because you've got issues.
Yeah. Well, you can do it, can you?
Oh, easily.
How did that go down? The fact that you were still on your...
I did it secretly.
Oh, I mean, I must
covert.
Admit, I was away recently. I was pretty much the same.
Yeah, but there's the difference between Hutto and I
sad
and you,
sex.
Sam. You
know, real we, sad
we,
sex.
We're sort of hard working.
The difference is you haven't got much else going on. Anyway, what's your Is It Just Me?
I reckon there's something in the Ablett to Geelong thing. And I say that because it's been driven by Craig Hutchison. He mm-hmm. thinks it's going to happen. And Pickering, he's mates with Pickering. And I just think, you know, and even Gary saying, oh, it's outside my control. Well, no, it's not. If you want to stay, you can stay.
Yeah.
And Chris Scott added to it by saying, oh, we'll take my Geelong coaching hat off.
Yeah.
I just think, nah, there's smoke there.
I'll throw one on top of that then.
Ooh.
Do you think Buddy Franklin will return to Hawthorne at the end of his 9-year contract?
Well, if they did cocoon the movie, AFL style, he could bring his walking frame in.
Do you think, Buddy, if Sydney don't win a flag...
So you're just shooting down
the Ablett? No, I don't think it'll happen.
You're a Geelong
man. I don't think the Ablett thing will happen.
Yeah, no, that's grain of salt with him.
It's weird.
Well, you say it could happen this year, at the end of this year?
Yes. Yeah. If Gold Coast want him out...
That would be massive. Anyway,
yeah, just a theory.
What would Geelong have to give up for him? Has he fully developed as a player?
Well, what if Gold
Coast? He was a late pick. Yeah, we haven't got anything to give. So.
I don't know. It's just, are we
got nothing to give.
Nothing. Yeah. We got nothing.
Next to nothing.
Would he get a game at Geelong?
Well, that's a good question. We've got some issues there.
Your first round pick goes to Carlton this year, which we'll gleefully accept.
Yeah, and hopefully we finish on top.
Late season,
and
fade.
You get pick 18 for that.
Anyway.
What was your question?
I don't know. What was my question again?
No, it was about Buddy.
Oh, if he doesn't win a flag at Sydney,
yeah,
will he regret the move? If he all his mates
will he regret the move?
Yeah, even though he's be rich as and all the rest, his mates have all got 4 or 5 premierships.
I don't think he'll regret the move more than the top officers of the Sydney Swans Football Club. I think they'd regret it enormously if they got this guy.
He's been big for them financially with memberships, crowds.
Yeah.
Like, he's already paid.
Don't let that crap
Look,
for
there'd
you.
Always be the element.
They're only doing it for one reason.
He could be a 5-time premiership player, but you know what? He's 3, is he?
2.
2.
Don't let that.
He's got $10 million. He loves Sydney. He's got the beautiful wife. No, I think he'd be pretty happy.
They sold the farm for him. I know they've got their academies and whatever, that is a bone of contention, but that could hurt them long term.
Oh, the good thing is he's playing great footy, so that's
got them over the line against the
powerhouse. I think you regret not going to Richmond when they had the opportunity to take him. Instead, they went for, who was it, Tambling.
Yeah.
So that was probably the
that's another historical.
I bet you he's really regretfully didn't end up there. He'd be ruining
the
it.
Tigers.
Yeah.
On that, I've got to say, surprised that Damien Hardwick had a crack at Dustin Martin after the game and said that he wasn't worthy of Brownlow votes. I was at the game. I thought he worked his guts out. He got caught with it a few times, but he was great. Most metres on the ground gained.
Yeah, the other thing, it makes
McClure.
It makes Mark McClure think, oh, I was right. He'll be strutting around for the
Sam
week.
Sam Landsberger gave him 2 votes in the Herald Sun. He knows what he's on about.
He must just go on stats.
No, he knows his footy.
Yeah, the most clearances on the ground, I think. On a serious note, as a player, if you're back there in the rooms and you go home, do those sort of comments irritate you? Do you run the risk of alienating?
Well, you're asking Mick from his career.
Well, he played some pretty high level footy down there at the Pirates. I think it was.
You know what did irritate me, Sam?
On the community radio on the way home, you hear the coach from
the Peninsula Old Boys. We had this coach called Rod Curley, and he was a good man, Curls, but he never liked putting the best players in the record because he thought right. So you always put that was in, and right, it'd be Warner and the best. I'm playing in the back pocket, and some guy'd come and tag you like, mate, I can't get a kick at the best of times.
That's an old trick. Yeah, it's a good.
I
like
to take
that.
It up with Curls in the end.
No, just accept it, mate. Good for your contract.
So you never learned to deal with a tagger.
Not in the D2.
Which leads us into
yes,
Daniel Rich.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Is no, this, he can't deal with a tag.
Is this a Beacon rewind or not?
Well, I had him in my Supercoach side, and I was going to trade him, and I'm glad that Essendon decided not to, because he had his first ton of the year.
It's my Beacon rewind, actually, Hutto, that Essendon, just can't understand, did not tag him.
It.
Now, their explanation was that Anthony McDonald Tippenwootty was his...
Renowned tagger.
Renowned defensive forward, but they argue that he had 3 shots on goal in the first half, Tipper, and if he'd actually kicked 3 goals, he actually kicked 1 goal too, but if he kicked 3 goals, well, they'd say we probably won that. But Daniel Rich had 890 metres gained. Now, I think, without checking...
that's bigger than Hutto's house.
That's a season record. That's nearly a kilometre with the footy.
I'm trying to think whether it is or not.
He had 25 kicks, whatever it was, his best game for the season.
You smell a rat?
Oh, geez, it's fishy, isn't it? It is fishy. I don't care what anyone says. Well, that's the most open, non-pressure game you've ever seen.
you're looking at what the reward is for finishing first or last. You get the first draft pick. Well, most people say
pre-season.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the killer.
That's pre-season. The one that there's a lot of noise around, which hasn't happened though. It just hasn't happened in recent years. But maybe Essendon. Sorry.
Thank you. I thought it was a poltergeist.
It's a poltergeist. What's your guys? Something's going on here.
No,
come on.
All right. Can you stop doing that? I reckon they're up to something in the first pick of the preseason draft as well. Although I thought that was Gaff and he re-signed. Well,
yeah, well, that was the... Now it's O'Meara is the other suggestion.
O'Meara.
Would O'Meara... And the person that...
Who's his manager? Colin Young.
O'Meara's Colin Young.
Colin Young, yeah. So anything could happen. But would he do that to the Gold Coast Suns, do you reckon? O'Meara?
Well, if he's caught wind that Gary's going back to Geelong, you know, he probably wants out as well.
I suppose what it is, it's the threat of that you then use. You can then maybe do a deal.
Bit of cash. Yes.
I don't know if he views it as doing anything to the Gold Coast Suns, does he? He probably thinks, well, do what's best for his career, where he wants to play his footy.
Yeah, but not many players these days leave. They all say we want to give the club up, you know. And I reckon he would feel he owes the Suns something.
But then again, he probably looks at their forward line and he says, geez, we could be a part of something special here, because that shapes as the most dynamic forward trio we've seen for some time.
Well, it was great to see Sam Day kick a bag of goals, because I wasn't convinced that he was going to make it, and it's still a long way to go.
May at one end, who's such a, for all his... Well, he's had a few off-field issues.
He's one of the great stories, Stephen May. He looked like a pretty average player when he started.
He's a great player.
He's turned into an elite defender.
And then you've got 2 metre Peter, who is killing it. Tommy Lynch, who'll probably be the next captain, who's just an amazing presence and hurts people, kicks goals, takes big marks. It's a very dangerous front half.
And they've got six picks inside 30, which is ridiculous. So, the future looks bright for the Gold Coast.
Do you think they'll just go back and just use all those picks, or will they try
and... They have to use some to get this Jack Bowers, who's going to wear number 24.
From 24. Yeah, use that gag before.
Did I?
You've done that one.
Good one. That was for Glenn Laughlin.
Still good.
The great man.
Yeah.
He said it wasn't worth listening last week without me on the show, I ran into him.
Hutto, straighten us up, please.
Controversial from Luffy saying that.
Hutto, please.
Check that out with him if
you
want.
Just get North Melbourne fixed up, Luffy, before you start criticising others. Speaking of North.
Yeah, what do you think of this game? Can the Saints get North Melbourne?
It'll be interesting to see how North go about the game. Like, I think teams get caught up in playing a fast-paced game with St Kilda, and you don't want that. So it'll be interesting to see, because I think that suits St Kilda. That's what they can do. They can win those sort of games. So I think the tactics in this game will be very interesting.
Good for the season if they win, wouldn't it?
It's a two-game gap, but it's really three games. St Kilda's percentage is woeful. And let's be honest, it's extremely unlikely the Saints can make the eight. But if they win this weekend, it's going to put some pressure on North, because we know North's run home is, on paper, a stack more difficult than St Kilda's. And St Kilda, well, 7 of the last 9, I think they've won 7 in a row at Etihad. That's where they play their best footy, where their pressure game can absolutely overwhelm sides. So if they bring the heat again, it'd be interesting to see. Champion Dado analysed the game closer than anyone, gave them every chance of beating the Dogs, because where the Saints choke sides is sides that like to dish the ball around by hand, gives the Saints an opening to put the clamps on. But more of the kicking sides, the kick long, like your North Melbournes, they have a bit more difficulty
getting
a handle on.
They did very nearly beat them last time, if you remember.
They did indeed. So, and North, as we know, apart from last week, have been a bit jittery.
What do you make of Friday night then? Because last Friday
night. Gone.
When they beat Collingwood, because I'm still not sure. I mean, they came out, and I can't believe that they... Where was that the week before against Port? I was expecting that against Port the week before, but putting that aside, they came out, their pressure was great. Yet Collingwood, who I think played pretty poorly, still had a chance to win. Now, they've gone on and won by 40 points, so you can't do much more than that, but Collingwood just murdered the ball. They're hopeless. They're no good at any
stadium. I was walking a 15-month-old up the aisle of the Jetstar, so I didn't see the game. Over to you, Sam.
No, I didn't see the game either, but I was away as well. I saw Nathan Buckley's quotes, how he put it on the forwards, and he said the forwards are in the gun. Every forward's up for selection debate this week. Not trade. But then I went back and had a look at the stats, and they had a heap more less inside 50s. They lost contested ball. They got murdered in centre clearances. I think it was 20-11.
Yep.
And he's putting it on the forwards.
Yeah, they were 6-0 down in centre clearances at the start of the game.
Well,
That's where the game got lost at the start. And the, then and then from then on, it was just their ball use.
The battle to defend all year as well.
It was Mad Jack Doyle mark of the year, boys.
I don't think it was better than Danaher's. And I probably think Hoskin Elliott's was better as well.
Was going to be, and is it just me? It was Brad Scott saying it was almost the best mark he'd ever seen.
Yeah, you've got to wait 3 days shoot there before you declare anything the best you've ever seen.
Has he not seen some of the greatest marks of our time? Your Moorcrofts, your Andrew Walkers. Your Sean Smith. What a classic mark that was.
Yeah. Silvani.
Fruity.
Who did Silvani take it over? Was it Crisisca that day at the G when he fell forward?
I think it was Crisisca, the chesty.
Yeah, it was the best chesty in history. Oh, Lynch took a good one, Alistair. Anyway.
Yeah, he did. What about the Saturday night game, then the other Saturday night game? Geelong.
Richmond GWS. Absolute cracker. That's
a Saturday afternoon game.
Right. Are you doing that?
No, I'm not. Cats and the Crows.
Tomahawk. Tomahawk's the key, isn't he? To state the obvious.
Lucky when Talia went off, though, to be honest.
Well, yeah, Mark.
Talia had done the job on him until he hurt himself.
What?
Kicked his last three goals when Talia was off with the cork tip.
Saw him outmark Talia at least three times in a contested situation.
But kicked four goals and three of them after he went off.
I thought the way Geelong played Adelaide, it's the same way they played
Adelaide's
them last time.
Midfield was left wanting.
Well, yeah, but they left their defenders back. They kept their group, if not six, then certainly four defenders behind the ball. And we know how Adelaide kick a lot of their goals. It is with the slingshot, and they've got those players. It's not always the 100% traditional slingshot, but it's a lot of that time where Jenkins is running back. And
Cats have Adelaide in their pocket, I reckon.
Well, they
not
do
just
seem
this year,
to.
But historically,
yeah, they do seem to. And I was just wondering, it was probably easier for them to do that at Geelong, to defend in that way and with the conditions, but I do wonder whether other teams will
down there.
Whether other teams will do the same thing.
I thought that media centre was going to blow over, actually.
I was there a couple of weeks earlier at the Sydney game.
Dangerous.
It was minus 50.
If I knew you were there, I was hoping it might, but they're making some progress, aren't they?
There's six electorates down there, and that's where they're getting all this money from, Geelong.
Yeah, of course.
That's their luck.
And apparently that is going straight to Rio, the media centre. It's going to be part of the Olympic Village of the athletes.
It's all going well over
it's better
in Rio,
than the Olympic
isn't it?
Village. They've only got three issues in that athletes' village, actually. Just gas,
mosquitoes,
plumbing, and electricity.
Yeah.
Only three. It's got a floor and a roof, and that's amazing.
I'm actually glad I'm
Kitty
not
Litter
going
will
to Rio.
Kitty Chiller will fix it.
That's right.
We've got who's going for Scotty and Ralph? Are you going?
Scotty Gallen and John Ralph are going.
Any of your crew going?
Jared Waitley's going.
Jared's going
from ABC. So I've got to do 360 for the next 3 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we'll relive some of the olden days.
That'll be interesting. Won't it?
We only had one blue on air, and everyone goes, "Oh, how are you and Robbo going to go?
How are you?
We've only worked together for 11 years.
You're not friends with Robbo until you've had a blue with him.
No, that's right. You know that.
Just don't do what Mick did and punch him.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, he's alive.
Well, did it not happen?
Do you think there's legal problems with hush money? I'll be taking this.
Speaking of physical contact, what did you think of the Nick Riewoldt?
I thought it was a storm in a teacup.
Look, I did too. I couldn't believe his reaction, but at the same time, I don't like fans touching players.
It was a really dangerous act.
No, I'm with you. I didn't like his reaction. I thought it was unnecessary, but I don't like it's a slippery slope.
I guess it was a surprise.
You can't have fans touching players, and you can't have players touching fans.
Yeah, I think when Hurdy hugged that fan, he should have been arrested.
A little bit different, but yes.
Is it?
Yes. He shouldn't have done that either.
Okay.
All right.
Big issues.
The milestones, then, we should at least talk about them. Firstly,
Cats have got some big ones, though.
Well, they have, yeah. Well, we were loosely talking about the Cats.
Yeah.
I mean, Corey Enright, and this gets back to the way they played on the weekend. He was best on ground on the weekend.
Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy was great. He is the best wet weather player the game has ever seen.
And
Geelong, I think, broke a record for the most number of players in long sleeve Guernseys on Saturday night.
Fascinating stat. Does Jimmy play on next year?
I don't think so.
He'd like to.
Would he? Yeah. So club's choice, not his choice.
Yeah, I think club's choice.
Right.
Boris? Wait and see. Wait and see on both of them. But if the season ended today and Enright wanted to play on next year, then I think he'd be playing.
Mm. So Enright, of course, breaking the Cats record 326 and Jimmy Bartel 300. What a player Jimmy Bartel's been, though.
He's breaking the record of a rhyming slang player too, Ian Nankervis.
What's that one?
Well, you're a little bit nervous, you're a little bit Ian Nankervis. And before we came on, you said you were hungry. What did you say? You're a bit
Johnny Famishon.
You're famished.
Hey, who's the better player out of Enright and Bartel?
Oh, gee, that's a good question. mean, they're totally different players.
Yeah, but they're lined up against the school.
Well, while Hutto's getting the
splinters, I would say Corey Enright.
Oh, really? Okay. I'd say Jimmy.
I think Bartel is probably a more talented player, if you want to put it that way.
Decorated.
I think, yeah, and certainly decorated. Look, it's a toss of the coin, but I think
Enright's
in terms of
BNFs in premiership.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Enright, look, yeah, it's so hard to compare, but
that's why you've been so good, because you've had seven or eight Bartel's absolute superstars.
Clutch.
Mr. Clutch.
Yeah.
How many games were there?
The goal he kicked in the 2011 when the ball was tapped over by Jolly deliberately, he got you back into the game.
Big moments, no doubt. Goals, marks. But in terms of ability, consistent over a long period of time, I would say Enright.
And the other factor with Jimmy is he was probably asked to play at a position for half his career.
Yeah.
I mean, super player.
I told you that off air, and you've gone with that.
Did you? Oh, you're the only one that thinks that.
What about Sam Mitchell from...
better when you're in Bali.
From last week with his 300th.
Yeah, pretty good player, Sam. Geez, it's fair to say.
I was surprised when they said he was as good as Lee Matthews. He's been pretty good, but he hasn't been that good.
Well, safe to say, he's not bad for a short, squatty teenager from Moorabbin, who was overlooked twice. Box Hill 2s, Box Hill 1s, they just looked at him, he was slow, he was probably a bit overweight for a time, he just kept getting the pick.
The 2001 draft, they got Hodge at 1, Mitchell at 36, a few others.
Yeah.
A bit like the Richmond 2001 draft.
Yeah. Well, we haven't really talked about Richmond this time.
That's because they're pretty much irrelevant now.
Hey, I thought you learnt your lesson.
Well, they are.
Is there any update on what you think may happen at the end of the
year? Something has to happen. They need a circuit breaker, don't they? That was just Hawthorne could have been beaten. They were going so badly, and yet Richmond lost by 70 points.
A lot of pain from Richmond people I know about the way they play again. And look, they've done it against Hawthorne successfully in the past, but the slow ball movement.
What has to happen then,
Mick?
That
was a tactic, though, to try and win the game, wasn't it?
What has to happen?
They thought, we'll try and stay close and we'll stalk at the end, like they beat Sydney. But it didn't happen. Oh, they just, I don't know. I mean, if Hardwick's the coach with that same list next year, it'll just be probably worse.
He talks about half-back a lot and the players you don't have. So is that
Yaron
a critical
and Hooley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have the runner.
I wouldn't be hanging my hat on either of them.
No.
Take you to the eight.
Are you surprised by the amount of interest there seems to be in Tyrone Vickery?
Not really. He's one of those guys who can always kick two or three goals, even when they bag him for not playing well. You know,
he does it in about a 10-minute patch, and then
he's a finisher.
It still adds up to 60 goals for the year. He's kicked 40 or 50 in a year.
Ox was talking about him being perfect for Melbourne to play that second ruck role and to sit alongside Watson Hogan.
I don't think Melbourne need him. Like, I don't think he's the right match.
So where would he go?
I don't think he's a bad. I reckon it's not a bad point.
I was thinking more about the psyche of the guy rather than... I think he needs to go to a great club and slot into their system. Because Melbourne are as flighty as Richmond in terms of their belief in themselves.
Could he go to Hawthorn?
Well, why not?
Wouldn't you just... if you
They took Sammy's boy, Jack Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, they did. That hasn't quite worked out.
But I reckon they're all Fremantle for Tyrone. But he's a free agent, so Richmond get nothing for him.
He won't be going to Freo.
Why not?
Freo are going to get a better forward than Ty Vickery.
Who's that? Jesse Hogan?
Cam McCarthy.
Cam McCarthy, can he still play?
Well, I'd say he'd have a bit more talent than Ty Vickery.
Do you think Michael Hurley will stay or go?
Sounds like he'll go. Yeah. I think...
God, how could you... Yeah.
Doggies?
Yeah, well, you seem to know a bit more about...
I think he does too, Mick. He's been very... You missed last week. He's really sort of full of subterfuge last week as well.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's a chance. I don't know what the absolute latest is, because he's obviously been overseas, so that might
running with the Bulls
change.
Come clean, please, Anthony.
What?
What do you know about the Michael Hurley situation?
No, I don't know anymore. Okay. I mean, Robbo wrote something about it yesterday,
he did.
Did he not? Yep. Yeah. So that was a lot.
And Job, still up in the air.
We had a discussion on Saturday on Crunch Time about it, and I said I thought the Dogs was the most likely destination. And then Robbo wrote what he wrote yesterday. So,
which was that he was gone. Well, they were
well, he was people. More optimistic of him staying, wasn't he?
Oh,
than going.
I think the general tenor of it was that he was rock solid on staying, according to sources. that might have cooled a little bit, and now there's a bit more of a chance of him going.
Well, when they put out that bizarre statement, yeah, as he
it seemed
out,
odd to me.
That showed that there were concerns there, yeah.
Mm. Where do you have Essendon next year? Does yesterday make you revise your decision at all? There's a lot of anger about the way they played yesterday from Bomber.
Loved Aaron Francis. We spoke
I agree. I think that the overwhelming thing from yesterday was Aaron Francis.
I mean, he had a few injury issues, and otherwise you would say, what the heck took so long? But going to be a super player.
Will Courtney Dempsey be there next year, do you think?
Oh, he shouldn't be. I think the time might be up for Courtney, unfortunately. Good player, though, when he was...
Will they play finals, Essendon, next year? I wouldn't have thought so.
You'd have to say it'd be long odds.
There's some people are... confident. I mean, I think they've got some very good young players. What we don't know is, obviously, first of all, Hurley and Hibbert.
Yeah.
But we don't know what those players that come back are going to be, what they're going to be able to do a year out. They're looking pretty good, Nick.
Nah, they'll be fine. Heppel will be fine.
Zaha
Hooker will be fine.
Was pretty ordinary yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, we speak about Rich tagged. Not being able to handle the tag, and he's working his way through that.
So yep. Brisbane put the tag on.
Yeah. Yeah. Mitch Robinson?
Yep. Yep.
They wanted to win.
They did.
They did want to win.
I think that's what makes the Justin Lepich... decision really difficult. I mean, I think he had a really good day yesterday.
A few people in the rooms, though, Hutto, said it was possibly one of the more awkward embraces you will see between captain and coach.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's been issues there. Absolutely no doubt.
When you lose, there is always issues.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not 100% confident that Tom Rockliffe will necessarily be there next year.
Not scared to speak his mind, Tommy.
No.
He just calls it as it is and damn the rest. So.
St Kilda?
No, I don't know. I don't think St Kilda. I mean, there's certainly, if Adelaide lose Brad Crouch, then...
But why would Adelaide let him go?
Rockliffe would be a very good... I think people are underestimating Rockliffe as a player.
I love him as a player.
He gets bad because he's handball, stinky die.
Yeah, but if you play him as an equal amount in the forward line and the midfield, he's a very good one-on-one contested player.
Mm. Yep.
And in the right players around him.
Another one overlooked in the draft.
Yes.
Yes.
So, anyway... just quickly working through some of the other games. Your boys.
Good effort.
Yeah, good effort.
Yeah.
One more forward. And
when you were watching that at home?
No, I did not.
One more forward, and you, like, if you'd had Ty Vickery, I reckon you would have won that game.
Yeah.
Have you signed your kids up as members, or are you a bit tight for that?
No, I haven't done that yet, actually. Well, I've lost one. I've only got one on board.
You lost a kid?
What? The other one is, effectively.
Where's he
gone? Because he's a catter.
He's really?
Devastated.
Is your wife Geelong?
Yeah. Yeah,
good on
him. I've lost him forever.
So you can't. That's
and how long till your how long do you think your son's going to last with Richmond?
He's already making murmurs that he's not happy.
Yeah,
he's in 15
months. I must
admit,
I'm happier with him barracking for Geelong than I am Richmond.
He's probably actually just making murmurs about other things. I would have thought Mick at 15 months, but I know a mate of mine whose son actually has middle name is Tiger. I believe has changed. He's now barracking for the Bulldogs.
Boy.
Wow. No, Blues were good. Loved Blaine Bocourse chase. Mm. You see that? That was like 150-metre rundown.
So. Oh, no, poor old...
Jeez, he dallied.
Ted Jr.
Dilly.
Just keep going, boy.
Ted Richards Jr.
Yeah,
Xavier.
That was shocking.
He just had no idea he was coming,
that
did he?
That was shocking.
The Swans played, I think, 9 players under 30 games or whatever it
they're
was.
Doing it well, aren't they?
That hurt them, though, I think.
Yeah.
That hurts them.
They're playing a lot of kids. But, the Blues look good. Cruiser took a couple of nice marks. Gibbs, Cripps have strung together.
I need you to win a couple more
ever.
To go past Richmond for the draft pick and Gold Coast as well. Giants was a huge win, wasn't it, boys?
That was a gutsy win. That was great. And difficult conditions. I think Leon talked about it being their best win of the season. It was a win of a more mature club.
Yep.
You know, we talked about it on the podcast going back away. But so if GWS, assuming they finish second, if not first, which they will because they've got a friendly run home.
They're going to finish top. That is the top two, isn't it?
They're going to get a home final, obviously.
Yep.
Look, if it's against Sydney, what happens, Mick? That gets played at...
ANZ, if it's Sydney, I think, is a neutral.
And obviously,
that's the plan.
You could have them playing a Victorian club in a prelim at home.
Collingwood.
Sorry,
they can't make it.
No. What would happen...
Sorry, jet lag.
Yeah. What would happen from a rent-a-crab perspective there? Would the AFL be concerned at that?
Rent-a-crab? You wouldn't need to rent it. You'd smash them in for a final.
A prelim with GWS, I'd be nervous.
What, you wouldn't go and watch... You don't think that 15,000 fans would drive up for a prelim?
Well, yeah. And what about the rest?
Well, they're GWS supporters.
Have they got supporters?
No, they've got 10,000
Only 9,000 go to their games, mate.
Yeah, I think it's...
That'd be a sellout.
Remember, Sydney played North Melbourne in a final.
Can you be nervous if you're at the AFL?
In front of 26,000.
Yeah. That's North Melbourne, though.
Well, mate, look around.
could be North Melbourne. They could play North Melbourne.
Sydney.
They could play North Melbourne.
Look around, Mick. I think your radar's normally a bit more attuned to this sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm coming around to
this. Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, would you like it to be played at the school or something?
No, they deserve it. That's not my query. I just think
you'd
be a bit
nervous.
Where
is their final? Should you want it at the G?
It'd be unbelievable.
What if North Melbourne played GWS in a prelim at the G? How many would you get?
Yeah, exactly.
Final look ahead to next week, boys. Some ripping games. You got them in front of you, Sammy.
So we've got Geelong and the Western Bulldogs on the Friday. Real test for the Doggies, isn't it? Talk about
this
copying
is it for them.
This down there, too.
This is their mini final. They have to win it to stay in touch with the top four.
It'll be interesting to see, like, those first 10 minutes of that game, whether they can, obviously, Stringer's back in and maybe some of the others.
Dalhouse is back. Yep.
With Dalhouse straight back in, or did he go to VFL?
No, he'll be back in for sure, mate.
Yeah, well, the way they brought Johannesson back, you'd think.
GWS Richmond. Yep, next. Hawthorn Carlton. Next.
Actually, GWS Richmond at Marnica, that's a big crowd.
So it'd be a bit of,
500 or 600.
Bit of love for Brendan Bolton going back to Tassie there, his old stomping ground. Collingwood and West Coast.
Coast were very ordinary.
That's amazing, West Coast, isn't it?
It is.
They the numbers say they're doing everything right, but they're actually doing everything wrong.
Yeah.
That's amazing watching them.
When do they get Nick Nat back?
They're saying 2 weeks, I think.
Yep.
So that's the test for them. I mean, their draw...
just to hang on until they...
Yeah.
They can still finish fourth.
Well, yeah, they can.
Brisbane, Port Adelaide's, look, close to meaningless now. North Melbourne, St Kilda.
That's a big one.
This is the one.
Boomers. Big game.
Yep. Big one for the Saners. Melbourne, Gold Coast at the G on the Sunday.
You doing Fremantle, that one, Hutto?
Probably.
Yeah. Fremantle, Sydney, Subiaco. And Adelaide, Essendon, Adelaide Oval.
So that's not as big a round as...
Not a great Sunday, it's fair to say.
...as last round in terms of big clashes. But, I mean, what we did see last weekend is those teams that are in the eight, a couple of them were wobbly, West Coast and Sydney, and you just can't afford to drop those games. They got it done, and that's what you've got to do.
Mm.
All right, boys, that's it. Let's see if you can get over your jet lag between now and next week.
Yes. Sorry if we didn't bring much to the table, but...
We're pretty much used to it after 100 episodes.
We're live on Facebook now, so
it's distracting, is it?
It's sort of put a bit of heat on.
Is it true? Is it just me, or did you request that you sat on that side of the table because that's your best side?
That's my good side,
is
correct?
It right
you should see him from this side.
As Richie Beno would say, this is my good side.
Is any update on the FM radio rights that you could give us?
Yes.
Because you are a Gold FM man.
It is Gold FM
which suits
Triple
the jumper
M.
that you're wearing. Very gold sort of esque.
What year is it on Gold FM at the moment?
I thought you'd say that jumper.
No, Gold's a very sort of modern, forward thinking organisation.
Are they going to get it?
As RARN.
I agree with that.
Decision this week.
Just in case I agree with that.
That's right. Hutto's gun for hire. Hutto's put his hand up if Gold get the rights. Look, it's not beyond the realm of possibility they could both get it, to be honest. But
I think
speaking to people
would you
who
be
know,
the,
well, they hate each other, don't
figurehead?
They?
Would you be the Hutto of SCN on?
I don't think anyone could fill Hutto's shoes. When he remembers them, I don't think anyone could fill them because he's forgot his shoes.
You forgot your pants.
Forgot his pants.
Yeah, the suit pants managed to.
What happened?
Well, I was carrying the suit up to wear on the later on in the afternoon, and they must have just slipped off the hanger. Who hasn't had a suit? Pants slip off the hanger at any stage. Okay.
I think you're fine on 360, but Robbo won't wear the suit pants.
No.
Yeah.
Both
anywhere
shorts.
Doesn't. Yeah. Mm. No, that's true.
We're live, mate.
We are. All right, that's it for the show. Our Super Footy podcast, of course, you catch it every Monday afternoon on the Super Footy website, the iTunes and the SoundCloud. For all other news, don't forget to follow @SuperFooty on Twitter and use the hashtag SuperFootyPod.